Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. A question that we receive from time to time is whether or not Christians should have luxuries. Now, first, let's define luxuries. Our dictionary defines the word luxuries as, quote, the comforts and beautiful things of life beyond what are really necessary. The definition continues by saying costly foods, clothing, houses, or furniture, the things a person enjoys, usually very costly, very choice. For decades, Christians have felt that they should have just enough food to eat and wear the simplest of clothes. They considered it to be holy, just to barely make it. Somehow, poverty was thought to be a sign of spirituality or great love for God. Jesus didn't seem to function in that frame of mind. In fact, the first miracle he ever performed was one of luxury and of a material nature. It took place at the wedding feast in Cana, as told in the second chapter of John. When the host of the marriage feast ran out of wine, Jesus didn't say, well, the guests have had enough, time for everybody to go home. No, he made wine for everyone in attendance. And the Apostle John reports that it was the best wine. It was a luxury. It's important to note that Jesus performed this miracle of luxury with people who already had plenty to drink. God doesn't mind if you have luxuries. Even Jesus owned nice things. The Bible describes his cloak as being so lovely, the soldiers who crucified him cast lots to see who would be fortunate enough to own it. As we continue our study of the Word, we will discover many similar examples of God's luxurious giving. If God himself set the pattern, who are we to change it?
The point is, Jesus is not against you having luxuries, or maybe I should put it this way. Is Jesus against you having luxuries? Anyway, shortly before his crucifixion, Jesus was having dinner in the home of a Pharisee when a woman brought an alabaster box of precious ointment and anointed him with it. His disciples saw that action and complained, "To what purpose is this waste?" In Matthew 26, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." I consider that a somewhat religious attitude.
Yep.
Instead of arguing with the apostles, Jesus replied, or his disciples, in Matthew 6, verse 19, Jesus says, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me." They didn't understand the symbolism of what she had done. But once again, we see Jesus did not mind nice things. He did not even answer the disciples' comments about the waste of the ointment. Instead, he commented on the woman's actions and called them a good work. He even prophesied about her. Because in Matthew 26, verse 13, he says, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." Jesus recognized there was enough wealth in the world for everyone, and it was fine for the luxurious alabaster box to be broken and its precious oil poured over him. Jesus appreciated the woman's heart so much that he said her actions would be remembered right along with the gospel as a magnificent memorial to her. She was getting him ready for his burial. Notice that Jesus never memorialized the actions of those who exemplified poverty, lack, or insufficiency. We don't see that. But here, he memorialized this good deed done to him with a costly ointment. Is Jesus against luxuries? The Word of God certainly gives no indication that he was opposed to them during his earthly ministry. His own actions seem to indicate that he was not against them. So why do so many Christians today feel like they should be against luxuries? Remember, the greatest luxury of all is the precious blood of Jesus. to cleanse and deliver and restore us, and that was poured out without limit for all the world. By now, we need to be, or should be, getting convinced that if we are generously giving into the preaching of the gospel, God doesn't withhold any good thing from us. Luxury should never take the place of the precious gospel, but they are available to the children of God too. And as we spoke about a day or two ago, you know, it's not what we have, it's what has us.
That's it.
That makes the difference in our lives.
That's exactly right. Can you have the good things in life? My life began to change dramatically when I started to believe God's promises. I remember those days when we were discovering all this.
That's revelation. Right.
So you see, it doesn't really matter how expensive clothing gets or how high the price of groceries soar, because God says he'll take care of us if we're taking care of those ministries that are preaching the gospel around the world. It's simple. If you believe and trust God, you will give to his work, just as the scripture teaches. Now, here's the good news of what's promised in return for your giving. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply your need, all your need, not just your need, all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Notice this verse does not say that God will supply these good things out of his riches and glory, but rather he will supply them in accordance with his riches and glory. That means he plans to supply us according to the good things he enjoys in heaven. Of course, we know heaven is not poverty-ridden. God's throne is not made out of wood and plaster and threadbare upholstery. The Apostle John surely isn't describing a slum or secondhand store when he gives us the description of God's riches and glory in Revelation 21:18-21.
In Revelation 21, starting with verse 18-21, it says, "And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass." That's how purified it was. "And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysosophorus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as if it were transparent glass."
You did good with all that.
Well, thank you.
God enjoys good things, and he will supply our needs in that same fashion, according to his riches and glory, as it says in Philippians 4:19. God wants us to have good things. Suppose you're doing well and prospering, and your son or daughter became a partner with you. Suppose he or she pleased you by being a great worker in the family business. Would you live in a mansion in the best part of town and allow your child to live in a cheap apartment in the slums? Would you enjoy riches but expect your child to get barely by? Certainly not. Scripture tells us that if we as human beings know how to give good gifts to our children, we can be certain that God will give even better things to his children.
Hallelujah. In Luke 11:13, this is what it says. Luke 11:13. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, Heavenly Father, give unto you?" God doesn't talk about giving us little tiny portions. The psalmist David wrote of the abundance the Lord provides in Psalm 23:5-6. "Thou preparest a table, banquet before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Wow. Hopefully everyone on this call is beginning to grasp God's real desire for you. He wants you to sit at a banquet table. He wants you anointed with costly oil. He wants your cup so full that it's overflowing with good things. And he wants goodness and mercy in your life. There's no talk in the Bible about running out, running short, or doing without, or not having enough. God talks about abundance. He talks about always abounding in the magnificent things he has created for us.
We have to ask ourselves, how many times have we stood in a store and weighed the difference between a bad suit or a good suit, a cheap dress or a well-made one? How many times have you bought a poor pair of jeans instead of the pair that would last? How many times have you thought you just couldn't have the best because you're a Christian? I've got a shocking statement for you. God wants you to have the best.
Hallelujah.
Let me say that again. God wants you to have the best. Hallelujah and glory to God. Well, let me just encourage you. I know we did the confessions the first 7 days of January this month, and we're getting really good testimonies in on it.
We are blessed. We should be reading those. We need to grab them.
We need to grab them and read them.
That's right.
But here's what I want to encourage you to do. One of the ladies who wrote says that she just keeps repeating those confessions every 7 days. Maybe that's something for you to consider. At a minimum, do it the first 7 days of each month. But she does it, once she finishes seven, she starts again.
Yeah, but even the first 7 days of the month get you pumped up and ready to go for
Hallelujah.
Your month.
Hallelujah. I mean, as you recall, those confessions were just awesome. Powerful. They really were. And we want you to not miss out on anything that God's got planned for you for this year.
That's right.
And those confessions, and yeah, particularly like day one, where it says, Heavenly Father, I praise you that this year, 2020, here's the statement that gets me. I'm headed where your word declares I can go.
That's right.
If you do nothing else but confess that, I'm headed where your word declares I can go, towards success, prosperity, and a good life.
Mm-mm.
Now that ought to make us shout and go glory, hallelujah.
We need to just persevere.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Because the enemy will try to talk you
out
of it.
Yes, he will.
He'll throw things in your way, but
by the words of your mouth, by your confession, you take direction of your life.
Amen.
Go to heraldhearing.com. If you've been blessed by the teaching, click on the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Bye-bye.